it's good to be here today. It is. I got butterflies. My stomach's in knots, so it must be good. Y'all, I'm excited about today. I'm glad to see everybody here. Glad to see everybody weathered the storm. So, y'all, when you get home today, bunker down. Round two's coming. But, y'all, before we even get started, y'all remember last January I preached and my dad was in the hospital pneumonia? Well, this year, he's not in hospital, but he's got flu and pneumonia again. So first things first, y'all, if y'all will, just pray with me. Let's cover him in prayer right now. Father God, I thank you for Daddy. Father God, I thank you for the call that you have on his life. I thank you for the way that you're using him to impact your kingdom. Satan, you have no place in his life. Sickness, you have no place in his life. You're trying to shut him up, but he's going to come back even louder, Father God. I thank you for what you're doing in him, and I thank you right now that he's covered in the blood from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And Father God, I lift up Cole this morning too as he brings your word filling in Daddy's place. And I pray that every word he says will be straight from you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
Amen.
Y'all, good looking crowd. I don't know if I ever told y'all that. Well, y'all, we've been talking about detox and all that stuff. And I was sitting here thinking, you know, detox, you're getting cleaned up. You're cleaning out your system. But then I got to thinking, how do we stay clean? You know, once you've cleaned everything up, how do you stay that way? Last year I preached out of John 15 about remaining in the vine. Well, this year I want to come to y'all out of Daniel 3. And I want to talk about how three Hebrew fellows were able to stay committed to the God that they served. Despite their culture, despite everything they were up against, they stayed committed to the God that they serve. So before we ever get into the word, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this message that you've given me today. Father God, I thank you that you'll breathe your life on these words, that you'll make these words on this page come to life. Holy Spirit, I pray that every word I say be straight from you. Let it not be from my lips, Father God, but I pray that you anoint my lips and let it be you coming out of me, Father God. I pray that we will leave here different than how we came. I pray that we will leave encouraged, that we will leave with a new perspective today, Father God. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Well, y'all ready to jump into the word? Before we get started, I want everybody to say, even if.
Amen.
Say it again like you mean it. Even if.
Amen.
Y'all remember that. Daniel 3, verses 1 through 3. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read a little bit, and I'm going to stop and talk about it. And I'll read a little bit more, and before you know it, I might even get to preaching about it. So Daniel 3, verses 1 through 3. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to its dedication of the image he had set up. So all those people, the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. So what we got going on here is King Nebuchadnezzar has had this giant statue built. This thing is 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. That's pretty massive, right? And he wants everybody to come to the dedication, every single one of them. So let's pick up in verse 4. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you were commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." That's pretty scary, isn't it? Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and people of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Y'all, I just want to point something out real quick. You realize he's asking everybody to fall down and worship? To fall down in adoration, to fall down. I just feel like Jesus, he expects us to rise up for him. I don't think we're supposed to fall down. I think we're supposed to rise up and worship. So verses 4 through 7, the messenger, they go out and let all the people know, as soon as this music starts playing, you're going to hit your knees, and you're going to praise this statue. And if you don't do it, we're going to kill you. Plain and simple. If you don't do it, we're going to throw you in a fire. So when the people heard all the music, of course, they didn't want to get killed, so they dropped down and worshiped. Let's pick up in verse 8. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you have set up." So what we have here is all these people fell down to worship, but there's three guys that ain't about that life. That's not their God. They don't worship that God. They're not fixing to bow down and worship him. And these people have set out, and they went and told King Nebuchadnezzar, they're like, "These guys ain't doing this. They don't pay you no attention. They're not even worried about you. They're not worried about your gods. They're defying you, king." So, of course, the king, he wants them brought in. He wants them brought in and questioned. That's where we pick up in verse 13. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of other music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" So right here, these three Hebrew guys, they have a choice to make. They've already stood up once, but now they got to do it twice. I'll tell y'all a story. When I was a little old fella, I was sitting there at the bus stop waiting on the bus, and I was defying my mama that day. I was being rude, disrespectful. We was arguing. I know that's a shocker. But she was getting on my butt. Man, she was getting on my butt. And mama, the way she is, I love her to death, but when she fusses, she follows you. And you try to get away, and she follows you. She just keeps fussing. Anybody know any women like that? Don't raise your hands. You get in trouble. But I'm sitting at the bus stop, and mama's standing on the porch just letting me have it. I said, "Leave me alone." She said, "What'd you say?" I stood up to her once. I couldn't do it twice. I said, "I want to stay home." I couldn't make myself do it twice. So these guys, they have to do it twice. They've already done it once. Now they're called into his office. They're looking at the king, and now they got to defy him twice. They got to tell him face to face. I remember in high school, I played baseball my freshman and sophomore year, and decided my junior year I wasn't going to do it. I was going to stick with football. Well, the first day of tryouts went, and I didn't go. Well, that Tuesday, the baseball coach, he come met me in the parking lot. He's like, "Cam, you sure you're not going to play?" And, you know, I still defied him twice, but it was hard. Because there's just something different about when it's right in your face. It's just you and that person, and you got to make a commitment. You got to take a stand. So I applaud these guys for what they're going to do here, because they've had the second chance. He's like, "Oh, forget the first time. I'll pardon that. You know, now if you'll fall down now, if you'll praise my statue now, we'll right your wrongs. You'll be good to go. You'll be good to go." So here we'll pick up, in verse 15, look what he says. He says, when he throws them in the fire, "Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" He just don't know what's finna happen, does he? Anybody here know this story? He just don't know, does he? Verse 16, let's pick up verse 16 and 17. We're finna get to the good part, y'all. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hands." So right there, they're sold out. We're not even going to defend ourselves, because I know that the God I serve can save me from this. But this is the good part, y'all. Verse 18. But even if, everybody say even if, church.
Amen.
But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Even if. They knew the cost. They knew what they were getting themselves into. But even if. Now we're finna bring it home. How committed are you to following Jesus? How committed are you to being a faithful follower to God, to Jesus Christ? That no matter what the cost, no matter what you're laying on the line. But you know something? Fans of Jesus wouldn't do that. Somebody that's just a fan of Jesus wouldn't lay down their life for the gospel. No, that's not what fans are. Fans sit in the crowd. Fans sit on the sideline and cheer while everything's going good. You watch college football games. What happens when a team's winning? Everybody's going crazy. What happens when that team's losing? They ain't cheering no more, are they? They're not following no more, are they? We all know people that jump from team to team. But what I'm trying to say is, y'all, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're not fans of God. They're followers of God. Jesus, he didn't ask us to be a fan. He didn't ask us to just watch from the sideline, to follow him while it was comfortable, while everything was going right. What about when the mess hits the fan? What about when the rubber meets the road? It's easy to follow God when everything is going right. But when it gets tough, that's what separates the fans and the followers. Because the fans jump off the boat quick. They don't want to go through the hardship. But Jesus didn't ask for fans, y'all. He asked for followers. Let's pick up in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And Jesus said to him, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross when? Daily." I like this version because it reads that way. Take up their cross daily and follow me. Y'all, every day when you wake up, you got a fight on your hands. It's a battle of the flesh. Are you going to live for the flesh or are you going to live for the spirit? Every single day, you've got to commit yourself to Jesus. You got to crucify yourself. So I'm not living for the old things I used to live for. I'm committed to following Jesus. I'm a new creation every single day. Don't worry about tomorrow. We ain't even in tomorrow yet. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. We got enough bread to eat today. Tomorrow, our bread will come tomorrow. Worry about today. But fans, they won't lay their life down like that. So I'm here to ask you today, even if, are you that committed to Jesus Christ that even if it costs you your job, you'll follow Jesus? Even if you get demoted at your job, you'll follow Jesus. Even if you have to lose friendships, are you that committed to following Jesus? Y'all, I love Gentry with all my heart. But if something were to happen and something I had to do for the gospel that we didn't see eye to eye about, are you willing to just drop everything and go wherever you're called to go? To do whatever it is you're called to do? That's an even if type faith, y'all. That's not a fan faith. That's a follower faith. Somebody that's committed to the cause. That somebody has committed their life to Jesus. And that's what Jesus asked for. That's how you stay clean through this whole detox thing. You commit yourself to studying the word. You commit yourself to prayer. Stay in this word. And even if it costs everything, are you willing to do it? That's just a gut check moment. You just have to ask yourself those questions sometimes. Because, y'all, Christianity ain't always comfortable. It's not always comfortable. When you're called to move sometimes, it's tough. It's very tough sometimes. But you know what? There's a peace in knowing what you're doing and who you're doing it for. Because God promised to never leave us, never forsake us. So wherever we go, we know when we go out in His name, we cannot be stopped. We cannot, will not be stopped. But I'm here to ask you today, even if it cost you everything, could you follow Christ? Even if. I made a commitment going on 4 years ago that I'm going to love people. The unlovable. I'm going to try to reach the unreachable. I'm going to show people grace. I'm going to show people mercy, even when they don't deserve it. Why? Because I didn't deserve it when I got it. But even if it costs me everything, I'm going to live my life for the gospel. Let's pick up in verse 19. Go back to Daniel. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. We'll come back to that. And commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And throw them into a blazing furnace. So these men, wearing robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. So let's go back to verse 19 there. What happened when Nebuchadnezzar decided to throw them in the furnace? He cranked up the heat, right? 7 times hotter than normal. What can we learn from this? Don't be surprised when you take a stand for God when things get hot. The heat's going to come on, y'all. And when the pressure's on, the real you comes out. When the heat is on, the real you comes out. But why, Cam? Why has it got to happen like that? Because with every advance, there's always an attack. Every time you go out to share the gospel, the devil don't like that. And he's going to do everything in his power to shut you up. He don't want you out telling people that there's freedom in the name of Jesus. That everything you've done can be washed away by the blood of Jesus. He don't want that. So he's going to try to silence you. He's going to try to make you hush. But y'all, that's when we got to just dig in, dig our heels in, and just speak up even louder for the gospel. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go up. They're tied up. Fire so hot that it killed the guards that took them up. We'll come back to that too. I'm getting ahead of myself. Y'all, can't y'all see it? I heard a preacher say one time he likes to give them personalities. He likes to bring the story to life and get you a visual. He said, can't you see all of them tied up? Just walking to the fire. And then you got Shadrach. And this guy said he's like the positive one. You know, he like cheers them on like, yeah, 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 yeah. Well, then you got Meshach. He's the middle one. He's the tough guy. And can't you see him? He's like, ooh, if I can get King Nebuchadnezzar out of these ropes, catch me outside, how about that? And then you got Abednego. He's like, I don't know, guys. Maybe we should just take a bow, maybe just a curtsy. We might need to do something. This doesn't get hot. And can't you see Shadrach tell him? I just feel like he's the leader of the group. Can't you see Shadrach tell him? Say, listen, guys. Your name is Meshach. That's your Babylon name that they give you. Your birth name is Michelle. You know what Michelle means? Who is like our God? And then Shadrach looked at Abednego and he says, your name ain't Abednego. It's Azariah. You know what that means? Yahweh has helped. Shadrach, his name was Hananiah, which means Yahweh is gracious. You reckon they was telling each other that on the way to that fire? That no matter what, even if we're finna die right now, I'm not serving their God. Because Yahweh is gracious. Yahweh has helped. Who is like our God? Y'all don't know where you're at in your life today. I don't know what the world has tried to name you, what the world has tried to label you. But God says you're holy. He says you're righteous. And he says you're redeemed when you call on the name of Jesus. I don't care if the world tries to say, oh, he's just a dirt bag. He cheats on everybody. Oh, they've been married 3 times. I don't care about that. God says you are holy and righteous and redeemed when you call on the name of Jesus. I don't care if you're struggling with addictions. I don't care if it's a pornography thing, an alcohol thing, a drug thing. If there's anything the world's trying to label you as, the world can't name you. You've already been named. You've already been named. And when you call on Jesus Christ, that blood just comes and washes all that away. Y'all ready for the real good part? The real, real good part is my favorite part, y'all. Verse 24. They just got thrown into the fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw in that fire? They replied, certainly, Your Majesty. I don't know why I said with accent, but I think they did it. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in that fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like what? A son of the gods. Well, believers, church, ain't a doubt in my mind that Jesus was in that fire with them boys. Why do you think that, Cam? Don't worry, I'll tell you. Let's go to Acts chapter 7, verse 55 and 56. I've shared this before, and I'm going to share it again because it's powerful. Stephen had just talked to the Sanhedrin. He knew what was fixing to happen. He just called them out. He put them on blast. And he knew with his speech that he was writing and signing his death certificate. He knew what was fixing to happen to him. But he was that committed to following Jesus Christ that it didn't matter what the cost was. In verse 55, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looks up to heaven and says, "Look, I saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man," what? "Standing at the right hand of God." Nowhere else in that Bible is Jesus standing at the right hand of God. But he is so moved by you that when you stand for him, he jumps to his feet and stands for you and says, "Look at there, Daddy. Look what Stephen's doing right there." All right, Campbell, that's New Testament. We're in Old Testament. We're in Daniel. Well, the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he was that moved for Stephen, I believe he was that moved for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I believe he's just that moved when you take a stand for him, when you follow Christ. Can't you just see King Nebuchadnezzar? He's just, "Oh, we got him now. We got him now. They tried to defy me. They're going to learn today. We finna show them." And then all of a sudden, he sees them. He sees his guards die, trying to take them to the fire. And then when they fall in, he sees the Son of a God. He sees Jesus walking in the fire. And he's like, whoa. We threw three men in there. Now there's four. They're walking around unbound and unharmed. So here we pick up in verse 26. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched. Y'all, you can stand beside a bonfire and smell like smoke. Anybody ever been to a bonfire? I hate that smell. But you can smell like smoke from just that. These guys walked through the fire of a blazing furnace. Didn't even smell like smoke. Didn't have the first mark on them. Tell me there ain't a God. But I'm here to tell y'all today, when you accept Jesus Christ and you're committed to follow him, your whole trust is in Jesus Christ, you too can walk through the fire. Y'all, fire is not always a bad thing. At our job, we burn off a bunch of land. Or a bunch of the stuff like when we burn off longleaf pines. You want to burn them that first year. You want to burn them so that what it does, it cleans out all the mess that's holding it back from growing. And what it does, it causes that to grow up higher. So fire is not always a bad thing. Y'all just remember that. That was free of charge. But sometimes, y'all, things get rough. Fires get hot. But when you have Jesus, I promise you can walk through anything. It may not always be pretty. It may not always feel good. But faith ain't a feeling. But you can always walk through the fire. The same fire that was meant to kill Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it ended up killing who? Their enemies. Well, I got a feeling that there's another fella that had this same thought when Jesus was hanging on the cross. I feel like the devil sat back, "Oh, we got him now. This Son of God, he's trying to free people. No, sir, we finna hang him on the cross. We finna kill him. We finna be done with it." I don't know if y'all know the story or not. But 3 days later, Jesus walked out the tomb. The stone was rolled away. Jesus walked out. Just how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked out the fire, Jesus walked out the tomb. And through that, we have victory over the grave. Jesus walked out with the keys of death, hell, and the grave in his hand. We serve a risen king. We serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We serve a victorious king, and we have the power through Jesus Christ. I love it when Old Testament stories can tie together with New Testament stories like that. But y'all, wherever you are in your life right now, wherever you are, I'm here to tell you that Jesus fights for you. I don't know what you're going through, but the same way they walked out of that fire, Right now, Jesus is walking with you step in step when you call on his name. And you can walk right out of whatever you're going into too. But you have to commit yourself to Jesus. You have to take a stand for the gospel. You have to commit to following Christ. To stay on. To don't jump off when things get hard. I'm going to share a story with y'all. I know I've shared it in here before, but I'm going to share it again. It was a dream I had. And in my dream, I'm at mom and daddy's house. And my truck was part way off, and I'm trying to get back to the house. And I look, and there's like soldiers in the woods. And I'm like, well, you know, this is kind of weird. Why are soldiers in my woods? And all of a sudden, I see they got these like machine guns. And I'm like, man, you know, something ain't right. So I turn, I'm running back to mom and daddy's house. And you know, in dreams, you just can't get where you're going. I'm trying my best to get there, but I can't get there. And the soldier catches up with me because he must have been like a cheetah to catch me. But he run me down. Surprisingly, he run me down. And he must have hit me because I was knocked out. Well, then I woke up. And we're in this like concentration camp type thing. And there, as far as you can see, people in orange jumpsuits. Just people everywhere. And these guys are walking around with guns. And they're asking every person individually, are you going to denounce Christ? Are you going to praise my God? And y'all, I feel like this relates back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I'm watching all these people get down on their knees, and they fall down like this, and they're praising to Aloha Snack Bar, whatever his name is. They're praying to this other God. And then they get to me, and it's my turn to make a choice. And y'all, we'll all be faced with a choice. Every day you have a choice to make. Remember that thing I was talking about daily? You got to crucify yourself daily. It's always a choice. And they get to me. And they say, Cam, I don't know if they call my name. But anyways, they asked me, they said, are you going to denounce Christ? And I look over, and there's Daddy. And I'm just looking at him, and I can't do it. I can't do it. See, anyways, I get down on my knees where all these other people are falling forward. But I don't lean forward. I lean back, and I hold my hands to the heavens. I'm reaching for heaven like the song was talking about. And I just start praying. I thank God for everything he's done for me. I thank God for Gentry, for my family, for all my friends. I'm thanking for everything he's done for me. And then all of a sudden I hear this person over here start praying to Jesus. And then this person start praying for Jesus. And then I open my eyes, and the whole place is praising Jesus. And I woke up, and I just felt like God showed me, Cam, if you will commit yourself to this, if you will follow me, I will use you in mighty ways. And y'all, I used to have a journal. Every time somebody would get saved, every time somebody would get rededicated, I'd always write it down. Well, I'm not journaling no more, and I can't remember the track. I don't know how many people it's been. But y'all, just because I've been faithful, just because I followed Christ through everything I've done, he has used me in mighty ways. And I'm here to tell y'all today, he can do the same exact thing for you if you'll just take a stand for him. If you'll just commit yourself to the gospel. If you'll just commit yourself to the gospel. As the band, will y'all come on up? Let's pick up in verse 28 through 30. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the province of Babylon. So King Nebuchadnezzar went from, I'm going to kill y'all because you're wanting to praise your God, to now, I'm going to kill anybody who says anything bad about your God. God always gets the glory, yo. God will always get the glory. They went from the fiery furnace to being promoted. Got promotions because they stood for something. They stood for Christ. They stood for God. So I'm here today, I'm here to challenge y'all. Let's go back to the fans or followers thing. God ain't looking for fans. He got enough people praising him right now. He's looking for followers, people who will commit their lives for the gospel of Christ, people who commit their lives for serving other people, for serving Jesus. And I don't know where you stand today. Maybe you're straddling the fence. Maybe you've been cheering on Jesus for a long time. And today you're ready to lay it down and say, I'm ready to commit myself fully to Christ. All this stuff I've been letting hold me back. Times got hard and I got off where I was supposed to be. But I'm ready to commit my life to Christ. I'm going to ask y'all to do something here. You know, it takes guts to commit your life to Christ. This ain't always a hunky-dory thing. It's not always a perfect golden road. Times are going to get hard. And you're going to have to take a stand. You're going to have to believe in it. You're going to have to live for it. So I'm finna ask y'all a question. And I don't want an eye closed in the building. I want every eye open. And if this applies to you, when I finish, I want you to take a stand right where you are. I want you to stand up on your feet right where you are. And this is going to be, I'm going to go through a couple things. At the end, if that's you, if it applies to you, stand up. If there's anybody in here today that has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've heard about him, but you've never said, God, Jesus, come into my heart. If you've never accepted him today, today is the day for that. And if that's you, not right now, I'm going to keep going. But when I ask you to, I want you to stand if that applies to you. If there's somebody in here that has asked Jesus into their life, but you've gotten off the path, you've gotten away from where you're called to be, you don't live for the gospel anymore. If that's you, when we stand, I want you to stand. If there's anybody in here today that has just been sitting on the sidelines, cheering on Jesus, watching him as he goes by, I'm asking you today to stand. To jump in there with him. To be the hands and feet of God. To go out and love people. To show grace and show mercy to people. You're sick of being a fan. Today you want to be a follower. If any of those apply to y'all right now, please stand up. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence in this room. Thank you for these hearts that are turning to you, Father God. Thank you for the strength that you're pouring out right now, Father God. For the courage that you're pouring out, Father God. Father God, I thank you for the courage you're giving them that they can stand in this room. Because if they can't stand in here in front of other believers, how will they ever stand out there outside of these walls, Father God? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to pray with y'all. If y'all will, just repeat after me. Father God, thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for me. Jesus, I accept you now as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins. Today, I commit my life to following you. Everything you got is all I want. Wherever you send me, I'll go. That even if it costs me everything, I'll follow you. Amen. Y'all give God 5 seconds of praise. Hallelujah.